In the days of big data, the IRS uses an algorithm to measure all kinds of data on your tax return and compare it to others. The IRS knows your field and they know what a normal range of expenses is on any given category on your tax return. So when your numbers pop out of that normal range, your tax return gets a flag. In this week's episode, I'm talking about the fascinating way that the IRS identifies taxpayers for audits and how you can see what they're seeing and keep yourself protected. I'm also teaching you which category on your deductions is actually beneficial to you and which categories you should not treat as a dumping ground. It's a little tax nerdy, but very interesting and will keep you protected. So today I am super excited to bring you a little bit of detail about your tax deductions. In case you're new here, this podcast episode was shared with my email list first. If you want help making informed decisions, but better with all of the tax and bookkeeping skills that school never taught you, sign up for the tax tips, bookkeeping advice, and general business knowledge to keep you growing using the link in the show notes in this podcast episode. Over the years, I have come to learn a lot about specifics in the categories inside of your deductions, and some of them are interesting and give you some of the strategy of what to stress over and what not to stress over when it comes to taking your deductions for your small business. So when it actually comes to your business, there are basically a whole bunch of different categories of deductions. And essentially, your goal is to document those deductions all through the year the way the IRS requires. But your tax return is only going to have the totals in each category. So the IRS can go back and they could ask you to show them more details on anything and everything in those categories, at which point you'll want to show them the bookkeeping that showed everything inside. For example, on the tax return itself, I like to think of that more of like the cliff notes, whereas your bookkeeping, where you have every transaction, is the whole novel itself. The IRS can come and audit you and ask to read a chapter, and you will have to provide a chapter. And here, my analogy, your chapter are your receipts, possibly your bank statements, and maybe some of your bookkeeping. Today, I want to talk to you about a few key interesting areas where it comes to these deductions and gives you a little extra guidance at the end. The first category I want to talk about is advertising. Now, advertising is one of those what I like to call golden categories. And the reason for that is that advertising itself is proof that you are operating a business and not a hobby. Hobbyists in general don't advertise. And one of the key tricky issues that a lot of business owners face, especially in the creative industries, a lot of times it struggles to turn a profit, even though you are really genuinely trying to make a business out of it and genuinely have a profit motive. So advertising, a lot of people don't realize this, but advertising is a signal in your profit motive. The IRS's definition of when your business begins is the moment you first advertise. So if you think about it, advertising is your signal to the world that you are open for business, right? That whatever you have for sale, products, services, etc., that it's available, right? So advertising is a beneficial category. It is a category that actually sort of is, it's a positive for you. So in general, strategically, when I am doing a tax return, there is some confusion sometimes on whether you put some things in one category versus another. I think some people stress about that a little too much, but I will say that if there is ever any confusion, if something should be in one of two categories, and one of those categories could legitimately be advertising, I'd put it in advertising. So for example, your website or your website hosting fees, that's an advertising expense. Your website is a key piece to advertising. I don't put that in office supplies or some other part of your tax return. I always pull that one out and put it into advertising, especially when a person is struggling to make a profit and stay on the good side of the hobby loss rule where the IRS assumes that you have a business and not a hobby. I am always trying to bulk up the category that really is proof of running a business. So it seems so small, but I thought I would share that. Now, there are two expenses on the tax return that can tend to be a dumping ground. This can happen with lazy accountants. I see it all the time. And I say that because when someone does your taxes, they see the work of the last person who did your taxes. That's sort of one of the deals. So I'm always seeing other tax preparers, or whenever a client comes to me with last year's tax return, right? So I see it all the time that accountants, sometimes clients, but actually more often than not, it is busy accountants who just try to run through a lot of tax returns very quickly, that they will sort of just dump stuff into certain categories. And these two sort of typical dumping ground categories are often office supplies and other expenses. Now, office expenses has actually attracted a little bit of scrutiny under the law for this reason. I know that New York State specifically has actually passed some laws around the office expense category some time ago, and I don't really remember what they are at this point, but the caution really is basically just don't put anything that you don't understand what it is into the category of an office expense. They want us as professionals to actually go back and ask our client what this thing is and put it in the right place. And apparently, New York State was seeing a lot of tax preparers dump stuff into this category that they started going through and making a practice of auditing tax returns where that has happened to see if there was some stuff in that category that maybe didn't belong there or that should not have been on the tax return at all. So now on a related but slightly different category is called other expenses. And I have something kind of interesting to share with you about the other expense category. So other expenses is sort of a catch-all category that comes at the end of the rest of your deductions. And it's an unnamed category, and it's essentially for expenses that don't quite fit into another place. So you might have deductible expenses that are perfectly legitimate, but there isn't a specific holdout category that they would fit into. Sometimes some things that I might put into the line other category, other expenses are research expenses, education expenses, professional development expenses, and occasionally a large line item that might be a little too big to put in office supplies. I will also put in postage expenses in there as well. That would typically be when you ship your products. You know that when you have to ship your products, it can get quite expensive, and it's more than an office who just sends like papers or envelopes in the mail. You are actually sending crates with massive amounts of insurance. So that's quite a different category of expense. So I heard this interesting thing that the IRS computers actually cannot see what is in the other expense category. The computer itself is only scanning what the total number is. But if that category or if that number is out of line, if it's really, really high, especially really high with a lot of blanks in the other parts of the return, sometimes the IRS will turn around and ask the client, the taxpayer, to show them what is in that category. So in other words, they cannot actually see on your tax return what is in your other expense category. So sometimes strategically, you don't want to use the other expense category as a dumping ground and put a lot of stuff in there, because if that line item becomes too out of proportion with your other deductions, you may get an audit simply because the IRS cannot see what you have in there. So that's an insider tip on something maybe to try to avoid on your tax return. In general, you want to do the best job that you can putting your expenses in the proper categories where they belong and being specific. Now, you don't need to have 50 line items on the other expense category, and please don't. But you know, everything that is a professional development expense, you can put together in one line item. Everything that is a postage expense, you can put it together in one line item. Please do not pull them out individually. That will not only be a headache, but it'll also be a lot of work for everyone involved. Now, I want to tell you one last key interesting thing about how tax returns get flagged for an audit. So on your business return, there is a code at the top called a NAICS code. It is N-A-I-C-S. I don't remember what it stands for, but basically it's an industry code. It basically identifies what your industry is in. But what happens is you identify with the NAICS code what field you are in, and if you think about it, the IRS has all the data from every single tax return, every single Schedule C across the entire US taxpaying population, and they run what they call a DIF score. It's a differential, so they basically determine what a reasonable range is for each NAICS code, each industry, so they know for every single category on your Schedule C. They know the high and low range for each of the categories. They know if you are a real estate agent in Texas, they know the range of travel expenses and meal expenses that are within a normal limit. And these are actually something you can look up online, which is a fascinating read. But essentially, the flags or the way that flags happen on a tax return is if your expenses on a category falls above the range. Higher than a typical person with your income level, with your NAICS code, you, my friend, will likely get a flag put on your tax return. Now, not every tax return that is flagged will be audited, but all the audits come from the flags. So having extremely outsized expenses in a single category is a really good way to get audited. Now, something that I often end up having conversations with clients is, there are times where you might really have expenses in a certain category that are extremely high. Because of the nature of work that you do, you might legitimately be on the really high range of the expenses in your area, in your field. Now, of course, the moment you know that the IRS were to audit that category and you would have to prove it, all you'll do is just show them your work, your expenses, making it obvious that it is real and a necessary expense for your work. What I recommend is that you know that if you know that you have something that is a little unusual in your industry, just document it really well. You want to be extra safe and buttoned up because the chances are just a little bit higher that the IRS may someday come, turn around, and ask you to prove those expenses. The good thing is an audit is a checkup, not an accusation. So if you show them the documentation that you need, you will be just fine. So, in that, I will talk to you all next week.